Wake up, everyone. It's time for a call to action. Welcome to Call to Action Today, where there are no sacred cows, with your host, Steve Noble, just an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and he's calling you out every week to live the Christian life in your home, your work, and even in politics. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH, or check him out online at c2atoday.org. And now, with some much-needed cough medicine for the church, here's your host, Steve Noble.
Good afternoon, Chris. How are you? This is your producer, Howard. We're glad to have you today.
Hey, this is Chris Connell filling in for Steve Noble today. Sorry for the technical difficulties there we're having, folks. My name is Chris. I serve as a pastor in the Raleigh, North Carolina area, and I'm a friend of Steve Noble's. You're listening to the Steve Noble Show on the Call to Action Radio Network. And today I've got a very special guest we're bringing on here in a little bit. Don't miss next week. Steve will be back in the show on Monday, and on Tuesday he's got author an apologist, Lee Strobel, coming on. And it's going to be an incredible show. And I just want to let you know to not miss that next Tuesday. Again, this is Chris. I'm a friend of Steve's. I've known Steve for several years. We got to know each other a few years ago working with Greg Laurie and Harvest and the Harvest America stuff that they're doing and reaching this nation for Christ. And I'm just telling you right now what an incredible ministry that is. But again, this is Chris Connell filling in. Again, I do apologize for some of the technical difficulties we're having here, so I apologize for coming in late. But we've got an incredible show. I'm just hoping my calling guest will be able to come on because of my technicality. So I'm going to try to bring him on now, and hopefully that will work. Jeremy, are you with me? Jeremy, you're there?
I am. I'm here.
I do not have Jeremy. Okay. Well, I'm going to wait to hear from my team in Winston-Salem whether or not I can bring my guest on and find out what's going on there, because we are definitely not getting the signal coming in from Winston-Salem. Again, I do apologize for that. I am Chris Connell. I'm a pastor. I served at Raleigh, North Carolina, the church called RFA Church. Great guy named Chad Harvey that I work with. And my guest today, I'm hoping to have on here in a minute, we'll hopefully get the technicalities worked out, is a guy named Jeremy Sims. And that would go from there. So the problem I've got is I cannot hear Winston, and they can hear me. So I do apologize for that. I'm going to talk for a little bit until they get that situation figured out. So my topic today is hope in the midst of long suffering. It is one of those topics that's not an easy one to talk about. And today I just want to make sure that we have an opportunity to cover that topic well. And so I'm waiting for my guest to be able to be on the air correctly and to be able to respond to them. What do you do when you're in a situation where you're going into long suffering? What do you do in a situation where someone you care for is not able to recover from what they're suffering with? What do you do? You know, that's the question here today, and we're going to be talking about here in a moment. I am sorry, I do not have the ability to bring my guest on, so I do apologize for that. And if the guys in Winston are able to step in and help, that would be great. Again, this is Chris Connell filling in for Steve Noble on the Steve Noble Show on the Call to Action Radio Network, and I'm going to go to hold for a second until I'm able to bring my guest on. So bear with us here for a moment, folks. I do apologize for the challenges we're having with technology. As my pastor says, there's a place in hell for technology, and we're experiencing that right now. I know that we've got Jeremy on. We've got me on. I can't hear Jeremy is what's happening, and so I'm not sure how to get that resolved. And guys, if you can step in and resolve that, that would be great. Otherwise, I will have to redirect the show. And so we just want to make sure that we are good to go on that. I've got input. I got everything else taken care of. Okay. Well, these are the challenges of technology, and I do apologize for that. And I apologize for not being able to hear my guests and be able to have a conversation with them. So, you know, what do we do in the midst of long suffering? How do we handle that challenge? How do we deal with the fact that as followers of Jesus, there are times in which we face circumstances in which we are unable to get the results that we want from God when we pray, when we seek, when we ask for a healing, when we ask for a miracle? What does that mean? Has God abandoned abandon us? Does God still love us? Is God still good? Is he still on the throne? You know, that's the question we want to ask today on Steve Noble's show. We want to ask about, how do we have hope in the midst of long suffering? How do we face circumstances in which we feel like the heavens are as brass, as we feel like the situation we're dealing with is not the way that it needs to be or the way we want it to be? How do we, as far as of Jesus, deal with that? How do we stand strong in the midst of that? Because, you know, we believe, and I'm a Pentecostal guy, I come out of a charismatic background, we believe in healing, we believe in miracles, we believe that God can move mightily, but we don't necessarily believe, we don't always see God move in that way. We don't always see God answer our prayers the way we want to, and sometimes we just walk through challenging circumstances, and we don't get the answer we want. We don't get the immediate healing we want. We don't get from God an immediate resolve of the issues we're facing. You know, how do we deal with that as far as a crisis? You know, years ago, I remember talking with a friend of mine that was going through a challenge with their health, and they were getting more and more answers that they didn't want to get. They were getting situations in which, you know, the health was getting worse, their situation was getting worse, and yet there was still hope in the midst of that. And I talked to them about that, and I said, you know, how in the world can you be facing the circumstances you're facing and not be able to get the answers you want from God? And that's what we're talking about today on Steve Noble's show, because I believe that even though we may be going through a situation that's difficult, a situation that's trying, a situation that's hard, even though we may be doing that, yet I know that God can still be with us. You know, some of the greatest truths we have in the Word of God come from the hope that we have in the midst of difficulty. Well, you've listened to Steve Noble's show on the Call to Action Radio Network. I'll be right back in a moment. Thank you for listening.
Let's try it all together.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Call to Action Radio Network with Steve Noble. This is Chris Connell filling in for Steve today, and we do apologize. We're having some technical difficulties. Today, we're talking about hope in the midst of long suffering, and I've got a guest on, but I'm not sure I'm able to hear my guest, and I do apologize for that. You know, Steve has got a great show lined up next Tuesday. He's got author and apologist Lee Strobel going to be filling in or on the air, and then he's also got he's also going to be back on Monday. Let's see if my guest made it through on the airwaves. We're having some technical difficulties. Jeremy, are you there, and can you hear me?
I am. I hear you.
Well, Jeremy, if you can hear me, I cannot hear you, and I do apologize for that thoroughly and completely. Speaking of hope in the midst of long suffering, which is what our topic was today, we are having long suffering right now on the radio. So anyway, I'm going to ask that we just bear with us here. Jeremy, it's great to have you on the show. Unfortunately, I have no idea what you're saying or how you're talking, and so that's not going to work out well to have you on there. But listen, folks, I just want to let you know that even when technical difficulties happen, God is still on the throne, and I thank you for listening faithfully to Steve's show, and bear with us here while we try to suffer through this and get this worked out and make this happen. So anyway, today I was going to talk about hope in the midst of long suffering. Why does God allow us to go through that? What's the challenges behind it? Is there a reason God allows it to happen? What fruit comes out of it, if any? You know, what happens there? And that's what we want to talk about today. That's why I was hoping to have my guest on. And I just want to say to you right now that my guest is a guy named Jeremy Sims. And if you have an opportunity, I want to encourage you. We'll have Jeremy on another time when technology is working for us. EasyAsHardGets.com is the website for his blog, and I encourage you to be a part of that and get connected with it. With that, I'm going to go ahead and throw this show back to Howard in the studio, because I don't have a guest to talk to, so I'm going to continue to go. I'm going to put Jeremy on hold. Listen, it is a privilege. It is an opportunity that that I take an honor to be here on Steve's show, so I do apologize for the technical difficulties. Why does God allow difficulty in the midst of our lives? Why, as we as followers of Christ, do we end up in situations where we are not able to get the answers we want? These are the kind of questions that we want to talk about today in the Steve DeNoble Show. This is something that I'm dearly and passionate about, and I think that sometimes we as followers of Christ think that when we become followers of Jesus that we are suddenly and completely going to be set free from all kinds of challenges and difficulties. And that's not simply the case. A lot of times the Lord allows challenges in our life above and beyond what maybe we can even bear. And yet he's able to bring us through them. And that's one of those things that I find as a follower of Jesus, one of the hardest things I face. Even as a pastor, I've faced this, where I face situations there where people are coming to us and they are asking these hard questions. I stood bedside when an 8-year-old passed away years ago. And, you know, I remember sitting with the family and sitting with people and saying, man, why? How does God let this happen? Why does it happen? And in that moment, I didn't have an answer. I still don't have an answer. I said, I don't know. I know God's still good. I know he's on the throne, but I don't know why God allows long suffering. I don't know why God allows challenging situations to occur in our lives. And does that mean that God doesn't love us? I think coming out of a Pentecostal heritage that I come out of, a charismatic heritage that I come out of, we believe strongly in the miracles of God. We believe that God heals. We believe that God delivers people. We believe that God sets people free. We believe it completely. But he doesn't always do that, does he? There's often moments when we cry out to God and we are in a situation in which we don't get the answer we want. You know, there's a verse in the Old Testament and it talks about when the heavens are as brass. It's an analogy to praying, and it's almost like the heavens are metal, like our prayers are bouncing off the sky. And what does that mean? You know, I remember talking with my mom years ago about the situation that she grew up in which, you know, her dad was a hardworking man. He was a provider for the family, but he was a raging alcoholic, a difficult man to live around. And if you're just tuning in, this is Chris Connell filling in for Steve Noble on the Steve Noble Show on the Call to Action Radio Network. I do apologize for having some technical difficulties. I've got a great guest I'd love to tune in. Can't bring them on right now. We're hoping to get them, but we'll get them another time. But we're talking about hope in the midst of long suffering. And I remember talking with my mom about, well, Mom, how in the world were you in this situation in which, you know, you have this dad that is a raging alcoholic and he is violent and all these things. And yet, I said, Mom, you did not come out of that necessarily unfazed, but you didn't come out of it bitter. I've never heard my mom be angry at the Lord about that. I've never heard her be a person that has some bitterness about it, and yet she went through all that long suffering. And I looked at my mom one day. I said, Mom, how is that possible? And she talked to me. She said, you know, hon, she said, you know, too many times people take what they're experiencing and they reflect it on God, and they say, you know, this long suffering that I'm in, this has put me in a place in which I don't have. You know, I'm in a situation where I'm going through this long suffering. And I'm going to project it on God, and God, you're awful because I'm going through this. And my mom said, you know, I understood that even though my dad wasn't good, and then I was in the midst of long suffering, that God was still good, that this wasn't the desire for God's best in my life. That God didn't want me to be in a home with a dad that was, you know, a raging alcoholic and was abusive, and that God didn't want that in my life. And yet he did allow it. He did allow it. And she said, you know, there's a lot of free will in humanity. There's a lot of choices that we make that are difficult like that. And yet my mom stayed steady. I watched my grandmother, it was me, my mom's mom, go through 7 years of battling cancer, and it eventually took his life. And, you know, I look at these situations or took her life, and I think, man, God. And my grandma was a godly woman. She was a righteous woman. She was a holy woman. And she started a Christian school. I mean, she was a pillar of faith, at least from my viewpoint, she was. And yet she was an individual that suffered through cancer and eventually took her life. You know, what's interesting about my grandmother is that even though she was going through that long suffering, she never complained. Now, if she did complain, she didn't complain to me. She never complained. She was always smiling. She was always laughing. You know, in the midst of that long suffering, she still had hope. And that was incredible to me. And, you know, she has been with Jesus. She's been in heaven for a couple of decades now. or almost a couple of decades. And I still remember the smile on her face. I can see the joy in her eyes, even though she was going through cancer and it was taking her life. And in fact, she got to her seventh year. I remember she sat with me and she said, Chris, she said, I'm going through this long suffering. I'm going through this challenge. And she said, and the doctors have said that I need to go back through chemotherapy. And she said, sweetie, I just can't do it again. I've gone through it for 6 years. And she said, I've just told the Lord, you're either going to heal me or you're going to take me home. And she said, I'm at peace about this. And we didn't live in the same state at that time. My grandma lived in upstate New York. That's where I get my lovely and angel tone voice. And I was down south. And, you know, even in the midst of that, she knew that that was going to be the very last time, you know, that we would see each other. And yet she knew she had peace. She had hope in the midst of long suffering. We'll be right back listening to the Call to Action Radio Network with Steve Noble. Welcome back. You're listening to the Call to Action Radio Network. This is the Steve Noble Show. And this is Chris Connell filling in for Steve. And man, what a blessing it is. And I'm so sorry about the technical difficulty that we had in the previous segments. I have an awesome guest that I can't hear him. He can hear me. So we can't talk because he's out of state and he's on the phone. And so we're going to get him another time, but I am going to give him a quick plug. If you are a blog reader, and even if you're not, you have to go to easyashardgets.com. Easyashardgets.com, Dr. Jeremy Sims. His blogs about what they've been through as a family with his wife going through Huntington's disease is unbelievable. We're going to have him back on when technology will allow us to do that. You can also get his book that he's put out, which is a collection mostly of those blog posts on Amazon, Easy as Hard Gets by Dr. Jeremy Sims, S-I-M-S. And he's even got a couple of worship albums out. And so I want to encourage you today on the Stephen Noble show here at the Call to Action Radio Network. Again, Chris Connell filling in for Steve. We're talking about hope in the midst of long suffering and how do we get through that? You know, I went through a recent situation that turned out to be really great, but we're going to talk about long suffering here in a little bit. You know, have you ever had someone in your life as a follower of Jesus that knows the truth or has been presented the truth of the gospel, but does not know, is not willing to give their life to the Lord? And I had this with my grandfather. And I've shared this story with Steve, and Steve texted me over the break. He's like, man, don't worry about the guest. Just come on, keep going and share the story. So I'm going to go forward with this, and we're talking about hope in the midst of long suffering. Well, I'm going to give you a story of hope here, okay? My grandfather grew up in a situation that was very difficult. I think out of respect for him and respect of the family, I won't give tons of details. But, you know, he was a product, like my grandmother was, of the Great Depression. He was an individual that did not see a lot of love and a lot of grace, probably in the early years of his life, and he rarely talked about it. But he and I, through the years, because my grandparents owned a house up in upstate New York. Again, this is Chris Connell filling in for Steve Noble on the Steve Noble Show on the Call to Action Radio Network, and we're talking about hope in the midst of suffering, in the midst of long suffering. And you know, they had a home up in New York on a lake, and I would go up there in the summers and spend some weeks with them. And then when I went to college in Florida, they had bought a home down there, and I would spend weekends with them there. And it was a great, great time. I had loving grandparents. But my grandfather and I never saw eye to eye on the faith in any way. In fact, he and I would have pretty, I wouldn't say heated arguments, but we'd have very strong arguments. But we still respected one another. We still, you know, cared for one another. But we could not see eye to eye. You know, we would talk about the faith. We would talk about salvation. We would talk about eternity. We would talk about, does God exist? Is the Bible real? We would talk about all those things. And my grandfather very much believed in evolution. I'd say, Grandpa, it's a theory. It's a theory. And you know, you got to give me that. That's a hypothesis and that it's not fact. And he's like, no, it's fact. And I'd say, Grandpa, but you know, you got to understand it takes just as much faith, if not more, to believe in evolution than it does to believe in creation. And he'd say, no, there's evidence. And I said, there's not evidence. The evidence is, if you're, you know, and I would go through these arguments, and then I'd talk about, eternally. And I gave him the book one time, Letters from a Skeptic, which is a great collection of letters. I love that book. And I even wrote in it, hey, Grandpa, you know, hope one day, you know, that you and I see eye to eye, basically, is what I wrote in it. That, you know, you can be with us. We can be in heaven together one day, you know. And so my grandparents are getting up in 8 years. And one of the prayers, and today I'm talking about hope in the midst of long suffering. So, you know, if you got someone you're long suffering over that you're like, man, I want to see them come to the faith. You know, I want to share the story of hope with you. So I would pray for my grandparents and I would say, all right, Lord, don't let my grandmother and grandfather, don't let them die until they get right with you. And I wonder sometimes if Billy Joel was right, you know, only the good die young. And so I ended up just praying that prayer because my grandfather, you know, he just get older and older and the years are going on. And now they're in their early 90s, right? And their health, as it would not, you know, it is for everybody, is not what it was. And I went down to Florida to see them, and I thought, you know, I'm going to spend some time, and this was not too long ago, maybe the last year and a half ago, and maybe I can have one last conversation. You know, the opportunity didn't present itself. I didn't really have a moment to be alone with them, and we never really had a conversation about this. But then not long ago, it was right over the Christmas break here in 2018. I'm at home. We get a notification from family members that my grandfather's not doing well, that he's going into hospice, and that, you know, that it's not looking good, you know. And so, you know, but he's still strong, but he's failing in health. And I'm thinking to myself, well, Lord, you know, hope in the midst of long suffering. God, I have lost my hope. I prayed so many years for my grandfather that I got to the point that I didn't really believe that it was going to happen, but I prayed just out of sheer obedience to the Lord. I would just pray and say, all right, God, you know about my grandparents. You know where they are with you. And I want to be in heaven with them one day because, you know, this life is one life we live. Eternity is forever. And I would pray that prayer, but I didn't really believe God was going to do anything, you know. So here's what happens. I get this phone call from my dad. My grandfather's been in hospice. He's down in Florida. And I'm thinking, oh, man, Lord, I've been this long suffering all these years of praying and praying and praying and not seeing any fruit, you know, and having lots of conversations through the years. But we, you know, most of my conversations with my grandfather were in my college years, you know. Again, this is Chris Conniflin in for Steve Noble and the Steve Noble Show on the Call to Action Radio Network talking about the hope in the midst of long suffering. And so I end up, you know, getting this call from my dad, and it's like a day of Christmas this year. It's, you know, and he goes, Chris, I want you to call your grandfather tomorrow. And he said he said to a family member that he was, you know, in a place that he wishes that he had gone to church. And that was not my grandfather. So my grandfather's a few months shy of 94 years old. And I call him on the phone. And we have a wonderful chat. And we basically express, you know, our affection for one another, our love for one another. We express all this. And then what happens is I end up getting to this point in the conversation where I say, you know, Grandpa, I said, you know, the most important thing to me is that when you die, you're going to be in heaven because I want to be in heaven with you. And he said, I was sitting on my couch at home. I thought I was going to fall off. And in fact, one of the family members had to hold the phone to my grandfather's ear because he was, you know, physically weak. And my 93, a few months shy of 94, your grandfather says, well, Chris, now that I'm at this place, now that I'm at this door, he said, it's important to me too. And I said, well, Grandpa, you know, we can pray a prayer right now. We can talk to the Lord and we can ask him into your life. And you want to do that? And he said, yes. And I led my grandfather over the phone in a prayer of salvation, a very simple prayer. I just said, Jesus, you know, we said, cried out. And he said, Jesus, I said, I'm a sinner. I'm a sinner. And I asked you into my life. I asked you to take me to heaven when I die. And my grandfather's crying. He's crying through the phone call. Through the prayer. This is a man I've prayed for, oh man, I'm 47 years old right now. I've prayed for him for at least 30 years, at least 30. And at the end, he starts crying and praying for my grandmother and my own. And I said, Grandpa, you know, if that was sincere, and he jumped in, he said, it was. I said, then according to what the Bible says, your sins are forgiven and you'll be in heaven, not because of what you have done, but because Christ has done, you know. And we have a wonderful time. We talk, and my family member that's got the phone, you know, they eventually take the phone, and I just say my goodbyes. Well, what happened is I'm thinking, well, that's awesome, Lord. I mean, I'm in shock. I get off the phone. I start bawling my eyes out. Here's my 93, few much shy of 94 year old grandfather who's always been obstinate and against, you know, not against. He didn't hate the church. He just didn't agree with it. And I'm thinking, I cannot believe this happened. I can't believe 30 something years of praying. We just prayed a prayer of salvation. He's never done that. Unbelievable. And I thought, God, thank you for giving my grandfather the gift of knowing he was going to die and having to sit in a hospital bed and think about it. So he lives another month, and my parents are in another part of the country. They live in our area where we live, North Carolina, and they were down visiting one of my brothers in Texas, and they've changed their flights to coming home and went to Florida and spent time with him. And my parents call me and say, Chris, you're not going to believe this. So your grandfather's reading the Bible. I'm sorry, I'm crying. Reading the Bible. He's reading the Bible. Somebody gave him a Bible. He's reading it. My grandfather never wanted to read a Bible. He's reading the Bible. And she said, my grandfather was saying things. My mom said to me, my grandfather was saying things like, you know, I was wrong. And he even one time lifted his hands up in the hospital bed and said to my mom, you know, he said, Priscilla, I never understood why people did this. Because he'd visit with us and go to church when he was visiting us. He said, I never knew why people do this. I know this now. He said, I feel like a new man. So he said one time, I feel like a weight has come off my shoulders. He wrote in his Bible. He wrote in the back of this Bible. He wrote in the Bible, I've got it. He wrote and said, today is a new chapter in my puny life. I have had a new beginning. I've never felt like this before. I've been rejuvenated. I've been reborn. 93 years old. And he experienced the Lord in that hospice bed. So when I talk to you today about hope in the midst of long suffering, I'm just telling you right now, don't you ever give up. If you've been long suffering for a loved one that doesn't know the Lord, I'm telling you right now, do not give up. Listen to the Call to Action Radio Network. This is Chris Connell filling in for Steve Noble. I can't hear the bump in her bump. Steve Noble Show on the Call to Action Radio Network. This is Chris Connell filling in for Steve Noble, and thank you for sticking with us today because there is a place in hell for technology, and today was an example of it. And I'm telling you, you don't want to miss this show because I'm telling you, God's doing a great work. When we have suffering, we need to have hope, and that's our theme today. Hope in the midst of long suffering. Hey, Steve is back on Monday and hopefully won't have the same technical issues we're having today. And Lee Strobel, author and apologist, is going to be with him on Tuesday. So don't miss that show as well. Well, today we're going to finish up the show talking about hope in the midst of long suffering. I had a guest on. We weren't able to make that work because of some technological problems, but I want to encourage you to go to his blog, easyashardgets.com, Dr. Jeremy Sims. Unbelievable. We will have him back on another time because his story is so worth hearing. What do we do in the midst of long suffering? What do we do? Well, how do we face that? What kind of hope do we have? You know, I think one of the things that happens in Christianity, particularly I feel like in Western Christianity, particularly in American Christianity, is sometimes we get this feeling that when we become followers of Jesus, that all of our problems are going to go away. But none of that lines up with the Word of God. When you think about the New Testament, when you think about all the books written, those 27 books in the New Testament, I believe like 13 of those are written by Paul, but don't quote me that number because I'm pulling that from memory. The Apostle Paul wrote many, if not all, of his letters to the church out of suffering situations. John was on the island of Patmos when the book of Revelation is written, not the experience that he had with the revelation of heaven, and he was there as a prisoner on an island in Patmos, there in the Mediterranean. Can we have hope in the midst of long suffering? Can we go through challenging situations and still have joy and still have peace and still have a purpose for living? If we're going through a difficult time, if we're going through a challenge as a follower of Jesus, does that mean God doesn't love us? Does that mean that God isn't there? You know, I think it doesn't mean that God isn't there. I think sometimes we don't see God in the situation. I think one of the things I love about the Bible is how honest it is. You know, you go into the Old Testament, you go into the Psalms. You know, guys, when, listen, when Jesus said on the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? I want you to think about that. And there he is suffering on the cross. He was quoting a psalmist in the Old Testament. There's psalms that say things like, my eyes fail looking for you. My eyes fail. God, I can't find you in this circumstance. I can't find you in the midst of this long suffering. I can't see you in the middle of all this. But I'm still looking. That's what the psalmist says. The psalmist says, I'm still looking, God. I can't find you. Where are you? Now, the one thing I love about the psalms is that they always end with these messages of hope. You know, why are you so downcast, O my soul? Why so in despair within me? I will yet hope in my God, the help of my countenance. But there's an honesty and a rawness. And if you're going through a situation of long suffering, I'd encourage you to read the Psalms. Because they're not just words of praise, they're words of brutal honesty. And that's, I think, one of the things that God wants from us in the midst of long suffering. I don't think God wants us to pretend. You know, the Bible says, I believe it's in Romans 4, but don't quote me on that because I'm doing that from memory right now. My memory is not always the greatest. Where it says that Abraham believed God about the promise that he and Sarah would have children, right? Even knowing that his body was as good as dead, yet he believed. It didn't say that Abraham denied that his body was as good as dead. I hate it when people are going through suffering as far as a crisis. I hate it when they say, well, it's not really that bad. Or, I mean, I understand. This is not the circumstance. They like deny reality that suffering's going on. They just deny it. Well, the Bible doesn't ask us to deny suffering. It does ask us not to deny Christ in the midst of suffering. So here on Steve Noble's show on the Call to Action Radio Network, guest host Chris Connell, and we're talking about hope in the midst of long suffering. And I'm going to have back some point, or Steve will, by God's grace, our guest. We miss it at Dr. Jeremy Sims, because his blog, his book, Easy as Hard Gets, is amazing. And you've got to go. You got to go get it. You got to read it. EasyasHardGets.com. But I'm just telling you that we can have hope in the midst of long suffering. And I don't know why God allows that. You know, there's a good friend, a mutual friend that Steve and I have, who is now in heaven, a guy named Colonel Bill Henderson. And I call him Colonel. He was a colonel in the, I think of the Marines, but don't quote me on that. I'm so embarrassed that I can't tell you. I know it was, I'm 99% sure it was a Marines. Those who are listening probably know who I'm talking about. At least some of you are probably screaming at the radio right now, like, obviously, this is the branch he was in. But I had a privilege of knowing him. He attended our church for several years. By the time he attended our church, he'd had a stroke. And, you know, this guy was like a hero. He knew several presidents. He was just this, it's hard to describe. He was this guy that every man, you know, looked to him like a dad. And he had that sense about him that he believed in you. And yet he was this tough guy, and he'd gone through all these challenges in life, and he'd been very successful in business, and he'd also been very, he'd gone through failures in business, and he'd come back from them, and he'd had a long, successful marriage, and he had great kids, and yet, you know, yet he was this guy that everybody looked up to. And yet he had this stroke, and I remember I would go out to the car on Sunday sometimes when I knew he was pulling up, and I would you know, open his door, and we'd put him in a wheelchair and roll him down front. And Colonel Bill Henderson sit down front, you know, and have that with that with a stroke condition, and he couldn't, when he first started coming, he could stand, he couldn't stand anymore, and yet he would still worship. And when worship was going on, I'd see him sit there and tears rolled down his face, and he'd worship the Lord, you know. And he'd make his way, you know, down front every Sunday, and we would wheel him back out to his chair. And then they got to the point that he couldn't stand anymore. And we got called to go to his bedside there at the hospital right week when he was passing. And it's probably, outside of seeing my grandfather come to the faith, it's probably the most impactful spiritual moment of my life, because we went into his room and he'd been through all this suffering. And that's what we're talking about, hope in the midst of suffering. He'd been through all this physical challenges, you know. And, you know, I never saw him complain. I never saw him deny God. And this guy was amazing. He used to take young people who were entering a church and sit down with him and interview him just so they could get blown away by this guy's story. It was unbelievable. We're standing at bedside. The colonel's sitting in bed, and he looks up and raises a hand up, and like he's waving. And I look at him, and it's me and like, you know, eight other guys from our church staff. And I say, "Hi, Colonel." And he doesn't say hi back. He just yells back, "He's real!" And he starts to prophesy about the goodness of God. And at that point, he's got a sickness, and it's killing him, and he's laying in bed, and he's suffering, and he's literally dying. And he says, "He's real! He's real!" And he said, "I'm finally going to be who God made me to be." And he said, "Lord, I thank you for allowing me to suffer in this way." I was just blown away. "Thank you, God." And he would worship God. And there was almost, sometimes I wonder if he was actually seeing into heaven, because he would take his eyes off of us. He'd look up and he'd start talking to the Lord. That I, you know, "I'm finally going to be who you made me to be. And thank you that you allowed me to suffer in my body. And thank you, God. And oh my God, you've been so good to me. You've been so good to me. Hope in the midst of long suffering." There is probably no greater testimony as a follower of Jesus than to walk in hope in the midst of suffering. And I don't believe that God allows suffering in our lives just so hope can be manifest to people who don't know Christ, just so people can see us be a committed follower of Christ. I think God is able to take the garbagiest, the junkiest, the, you know, crappiest parts of our life. Forgive my French there. And I think he can bring glory to himself out of it. You know, and I think that we forget that we're not home yet. I do. And that this life is not all there is. And I saw Colonel Bill Henderson talking about hope in the midst of long suffering, laying in that hospital bed. Man, I'm telling you, every one of us, all eight or nine of us staff pastors, they're bawling our eyes out. Because this man from his bedside in the midst of suffering was giving glory to God. I'm telling you this right now. I'm telling you that if you're going through long suffering and you're a committed follower of Christ, I'm telling you, God has not abandoned you. He has not left you. He has not stuck you in a place, and he's not forgotten about you. And you are not forsaken. And let's look at Christ, the author and the perfecter of our faith, Hebrews says in chapter 12, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising its shame, right? For the joy set before him. You know, the reality is suffering is a part of being a follower of Jesus. Jesus said, "In this life, you will have trouble. But take heart, I have overcome the world." If you're going through trouble, I want to challenge you today. Don't give up. Don't give in to despair. God has not left you. God is with you. He is going to carry you through this. And through you, others are going to see Jesus. Through you, they're going to see the reality that God is real. That he is able to bring you through whatever situation you're in. So today in the Call to Action Radio Network, Chris Conniff for Steve Noble, I want you to know, because of Jesus and him alone, there is hope in the midst of your suffering. Stand and be strong, my brothers and sisters in Christ, and know that God is with you, and Jesus promised he'd never leave you nor forsake you.